Well, good morning. We're so glad this morning to have our communion class here celebrating communion with us. Some of them have received communion before. Some of them will be receiving it for the first time. But we have all been learning together in our Sunday school class about what communion means and why we celebrate it together over this past semester. And in a little while, we'll invite the children to come forward during the Eucharistic prayer to come and stand around the altar and then to receive communion as a group. I recently remembered a story about children and bread that is related to this topic of communion. And I've shared it in a sermon before, but I want to share it again in the hopes that it will help us to think more about what this sacrament of communion means. And the command that Jesus gave us, whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, do this in remembrance of me. The story comes from a book called Sleeping with Bread, Holding What Gives You Life by Dennis and Sheila Lynn. At the end of World War II, in Europe, after so much hardship and loss, there were thousands of children who needed a home. And many of them were placed in refugee camps where they received food and care. But these children had lost so much that a lot of them had trouble sleeping at night. They were afraid when they woke up that perhaps once again they would not have a home or enough food. The grown-ups who were in charge of them tried to relieve these children's anxiety, but nothing seemed to make them feel better. And then finally, someone came up with an idea, which was to give each child something to hold at night. It wasn't a teddy bear, it was a piece of bread. Holding a piece of bread, these children were able to sleep in peace because if they ever woke up during the night, the bread reminded them and reassured them, "Today I ate and I will eat again tomorrow." On the cover of this book, Sleeping with Bread, there's a picture of a boy wearing striped pajamas, tucked into a bed with a quilt, with his hands resting on the pillow next to him, holding a little loaf of bread, with a peaceful look on his face, knowing that he can rest because someone is there to care for him. And there's a phrase from the Book of Common Prayer that our classes studied that I thought of when I remembered this story. The prayer book tells us that the sacrament is a visible sign of an invisible grace. So let's think for a minute about how that piece of bread was a visible sign to those children of something invisible that they needed to remember. The piece of bread in their hand wasn't the sum total of what they would receive to eat the next day. It was just enough to fit in their hand and to remind them that someone was caring for them and that they would have their daily bread. It was a promise that there would be more food to come and that they would have all that food represents to us: nourishment, security, provision, and care. And so, in the sacrament of communion, we also have a visible sign. The visible sign is the simple, humble wafer and the wine. And that wafer, that bread that we receive, is also just a sign of a greater thing that God intends to do for us, to feed us spiritually, not just now, but in the life of the world to come. The Catechism calls it a foretaste, a little glimpse of what God has in store for us. So the bread and the wine represent something invisible, the body and blood of Christ given to us and received in faith. Why do you think God gave us sacraments like communion and baptism? Why not just tell us to believe in our hearts or in our minds? I think it's because God knows that we as humans need something that we can see, touch, and even taste to remind us of his care and his love for us. After all, how do we feel if someone says that they love us, but they offer us no signs of it? That love doesn't mean much to us, until the person is ready to show us. In preparing for our class last Sunday, I came across an analogy for what this visible sign is like and why we humans need someone to show us their love. And that is to think of a hug. A hug between two people who love each other, whether friends or family or spouses. The hug makes something that's usually invisible, their relationship with each other and their care for each other, visible through that gesture. We can see the love that they feel for each other. And a hug also engages our senses. We can see it and we can feel it. Now, the people's love for each other isn't dependent on the hug. Their love exists whether they hug at a particular time or not. But hugging someone makes our love present in the moment, and it can deepen and renew our love. If we've been going through a tough time in life, if we've been upset with a loved one, or if we've been apart from them for a long time, we all know how a hug can melt away our fear or our sadness or our frustration, sometimes in ways that words just can't get at. So in some ways, a hug is like the sacrament of communion. The sacraments make present God's love for us. They can help us to deepen our love for God, and they also do something in us. We call them a means of grace. The Catechism says that what communion does is strengthen our union with Christ and with one another. Our relationship with God isn't dependent on receiving communion, but when we remember Jesus, when we come forward with our hands to receive, God is at work in us. Now, sometimes we might be aware of that. We might feel really connected to God while we take communion and feel aware of God's presence. And sometimes we might not feel aware of it at all. We might feel dry and disconnected. But God is at work nonetheless. The Catechism says, through communion, God is working invisibly in us, bringing us to life and strengthening our faith in him. Perhaps you noticed that all the readings and the songs today have a theme. It is Good Shepherd Sunday, and that fits in really well with pondering the mystery of the sacrament of communion. When Jesus says, "I am the Good Shepherd," he gave us an image that we can understand to see what it means for him to care for us, because we can understand how a shepherd would care for his sheep. How do we know that a shepherd loves the sheep? Well, first, we should contrast it with the hired hand that Jesus talks about. How do we know he doesn't care about the sheep? Well, when the going gets tough, he is out of there. He's just in it for the money. He doesn't ultimately care about the sheep's well-being. On the other hand, the good shepherd sticks with the sheep no matter what. When you begin to learn about what it was like to be a shepherd in Jesus' time, you realize that it was basically a 24/7 job. The good shepherd would spend his day helping his sheep get the water and the food that they needed. They lived in a desert area, so it wasn't always easy to find food or clean water for them to drink. And at night, when they were in a sheepfold that would protect them, he would sleep at the gate, sort of like this gate here. There were no brass doors or gates at the opening. The shepherd would put his own body in that opening and sleep there in order to protect the sheep from any enemies that would come at night like a wolf. If danger came like that, a shepherd would not think twice about offering his life for the sheep. And in this passage, Jesus says that that is what he has done for us, that he will even lay down his life for his sheep. To close today, there's an image that we've looked at in our communion class that I'd like to share with all of you. It captures this beautiful relationship between Jesus, the Good Shepherd, and his sheep. So, since I don't have screens to show you the picture, I'm just going to describe it to you. It's called Jesus and the Lamb by an artist called Catherine Brown. And if you'd like to see it for yourself after this, it is easily found online if you search for Jesus and the Lamb and Catherine Brown's name. It's a simple black and white drawing of Jesus holding a little lamb close in his arms. Jesus is almost burying his face in the lamb's wool. So the focus of your gaze is the lamb's face, which is looking out at the person looking at the picture. The lamb looks so content. His head is resting on Jesus' shoulder, and his chin is secure in the crook of Jesus' arm. And he looks so relaxed that he might almost fall asleep. He looks as blissful as that little boy in the striped pajamas, sleeping with his loaf of bread tucked into bed. So this picture is a beautiful depiction of how close and comforting the Good Shepherd's love can be. But there's one more detail about the drawing that really deepens its meaning and its significance. Because Jesus' hand is resting on the lamb, and you can see on his hand the scars from the nails that Jesus bore on the cross. In that visible sign of those scars, we see a picture of how Jesus' love is truly like this good shepherd who he describes. That he didn't just offer words, he was willing to lay down his life for his sheep at the cross. And then he rose from the dead so that we could have new life beyond the grave as well. A life that he offers to us and strengthens in us every time we come forward for communion. In life, we will all experience times like those children in the camps in Europe. Times of fear and uncertainty, when unknowns and loss seem to loom over us. When those times come, may we turn to the Lord, both with words in prayer, but also by turning to the sacrament, because we're invited there to renew our faith and our trust in our Good Shepherd. In that little wafer and that little sip of wine, those small and humble signs, may we see them pointing to the greatest love that we can ever know. So, kids who've been in class this semester, as you receive communion today, I invite you to listen for the voice of your Good Shepherd, telling you that he loves you so much that he offered up his life for you so that you could be like one of those children sleeping with bread, like that little lamb resting in Jesus' arms. And I encourage you and all of us to respond to this good news and to this gift, to say to our Good Shepherd, thank you, Jesus. I love you too. Amen.